So I just want to point out my co-authors on this paper. This was work that I did at EMC BRS, the Advanced Development Team in Princeton, with Grant Wallace and with Windsor. So if we look at virtual machine host architecture, typically we see host hardware, which runs some combination of host OS, a hypervisor, and on top of that, we have multiple virtual machines running. Traditionally, the way we back these up is by installing host, installing backup software like backup agents, backup clients inside of each of the guest VMs, and then those agents will read the file system data to perform the backup process and stream it out to perhaps a backup appliance that does capacity optimized storage. Alternatively, though, and more recently, we see the ability to do backups directly from the host hypervisor itself through some sort of a backup API for, such as ESX server provides. When we do it this way, we're really talking about a physical VM backup, and by physical I mean virtual disk. Whereas the logical VM backup was a guest level backup, this is really a host level backup. So if we look in, we look a little deeper at each of these, starting with the logical VM backup. Really what we're talking about is the backup software will do a hierarchical walk of the file system and read out the file data and metadata and concatenate it together and stream it out to the capacity optimized storage. And these streams are essentially like tar files. The benefit of this approach is that it's very space efficient. We only copy the relevant data and metadata from the file system that we need to back up. But unfortunately, there's a high admin overhead to this approach. And the reason is, we'd really like the admin overhead to scale with the VM host, the number of VM hosts. But in fact, it scales with the number of guest VMs. And since we're seeing densities of guest VMs to VM hosts in the range of 10 to 20x today, and in the future we'll see more as the number of cores and amount of memory in these VM hosts continues to grow, this admin overhead really scales at 20 times the rate of the host hardware, or the VM host. The secondary problem with this approach is that it's slow. Since I'm inside the guest VM and I'm reading the file system via file system tree walk, I'm doing a lot of random IOs. Physical, on the other hand, allows me to back up the entire guest virtual disk. And the benefit of this is that when I do so, I have a lower admin overhead. It scales directly with the number of VM hosts. And also, it's faster since I'm reading the virtual machine disks directly in a sequential fashion from block zero to the end of the block. Now, just to clarify a bit, when I talk about virtual disks, they're generally analogous to a physical disk. And the way they're used by the virtual machine is very similar to the way a virtual machine would use a physical disk. It's a linear concatenation of blocks broken down into virtual disk partitions. Each of those partitions can contain a file system. In this case, we see this partition was formatted with NTFS, and we know that because we have a large master file table up front. And then we see also the other components are live and used data and metadata blocks, and also the free and unused blocks at the end of the file system. And that's really defines the cost of this, or we believe it does. It's the additional space overhead that you need to store not only the live data that you really care about and some of the metadata, but also the metadata you probably don't care about and all the free and unused blocks that may contain garbage data. So the question we ask in this study was, can backup, physical backup, be as space efficient as logical backup? Our methodology is threefold. We start by using real user data we collected internally. We create virtual disks from these logical backup data from this logical backup data set, and we simulate a capacity-optimized backup storage system that does deduplication and compression. And I'll talk about these three in a little more detail. With respect to the data set, we have a large number of workstations. We chose five, and these five workstations had either 25 to 40 weeks of full backups. And those backups are both fulls and incrementals. So in the case of fulls, we'd see some workstations have up to 40 full backups, one per week, and then they would have five or six incrementals depending on their policy. Total number of backups is approximately, including fulls and incrementals, 1,800 that we used. The total size was about 2.25 tera. And from that, we created an equivalent number of VMDKs. And given that we have more metadata and we have and we expanded the VMDKs to allow for free space as you would run a normal file system, the overall VMDK size was 6 tera. So how do we create VMDKs from backups? Well, we start with the very first one, and we create a blank. We call it the Gen 1 VMDK. We format it. In our study, we used NTFS since it was one of the more common file systems. And then we select the first full backup for any given host, and we restore the data from that full backup using the typical backup restore operations to the NTFS partition. Then from there, to create the N plus 1th generation, we start with the nth generation VMDK. We clone it. That gives us our basis N plus 1th VMDK. Then we select the N plus 1 backup file, whichever one we want to restore, maybe a full, maybe an incremental. And we restore it, but we do it in such a way to maintain the block mapping underlying. So overwrites will write to the same blocks as they did before, but new appends would allocate new blocks. So we try to maintain the write pattern that would occur in the normal file system. And we do this by using an rsync protocol with a data in place update. Our simulator is composed of two modules, a deduplication module and a compression module, which uses GZ compression. We feed into the simulator a set of physical backups or logical backups, depending. In this case, I show physical backups, the Gen 1 through Gen N VMDKs. Those stream in one at a time to the deduplication module, and they are deduplicated, and then the unique segments are output, and those unique segments are then fed into the, one by one, fed into the GZ compression module and compressed individually. We get our statistics from that, and these are the statistics we use to report the results in this paper. The statistics are reported after every VMDK and also at the very end for all, not just VMDKs, but for all input files. So it could be logical or physical backups. Just a quick background slide on deduplication in case anybody here still doesn't know what it is. Essentially what you have is a file, in this case a backup file, and the backup file has data inside of it, and we chunk that data one at a time. And fingerprint it. So in this case, we start at one end and we're going to work our way through the entire file, chunking and fingerprinting. And we use a cryptographically strong fingerprint like SHA-1, which has a low collision rate. Then once we chunked, and we find a unique fingerprint, we store the chunk and the fingerprint in the storage system, and we keep a file recipe so that we can reconstruct the file. When we find a fingerprint that we've seen before, we don't have to store that chunk in there. So we go along like this, storing unique chunks one at a time, updating the file recipe, storing the fingerprint along with it, and then eventually, as we see here, we find chunks that are duplicates of those. One thing to point out about chunking is that it can be fixed or variable, and in that sense I mean the type of chunking. So fixed size chunking would be we choose the same size chunks and we pick those boundaries based on the size. Variable size is done by doing content-defined chunking, and then in that case we talk about the average size of the chunk. So I'll move on to some of the results now. In our evaluation, we had four questions, and I'll go through them one at a time. The very first question is the question I asked on the third slide of this talk, and that's how space efficient is physical backup compared to logical backup. And so to answer this, we looked at a range of our logical and physical backup files, and we ran them through the simulator. And we talk about early and late generation. I'll present results for early generation and for late. By early, I mean, in this case, the very first full backup. We were interested in seeing how much deduplication we would get for physical backup compared to logical backup on the very first backup, because this is a limited opportunity for deduplication here. We also look at late generation, and late generation represents at least 25 full backups altogether. So we look at the deduplication after we've stored at least 25 full backups. And this approximates the steady state of a capacity-optimized backup storage system. That's why we want to look at that as well. With respect to these set of results, we present the relative size ratio. And the reason we do that is because if you remember, the VMDKs and size of the VMDKs related logical size TARs was about 2.5 times larger in size. And so we don't want to skew our results in favor of the VMDKs by writing large VMDKs which have a certain amount of free space that's going to compress very well, and then just say, oh, the VMDKs, they do so much better. So in order to normalize that, we use the output bytes for each case, the VMDK case and the size of the output bytes for the VMDK case and for the logical case, and we normalize by the logical backup size in both cases, and that allows us to do an apples-to-apples comparison. In these results, the lower numbers are better. So we look at the early generation results first. This graph, on the x-axis, we vary the chunk size. So that's 4, 8, or 16 kilobytes. And the y-axis presents the relative size ratio that I just described. Each group of bars has two subgroups, if you will. The physical backup are the first two bars, and the logical backup are the second two bars in each group. And each bar represents, for each subgroup, fixed size chunking or variable size chunking. So with that said, the high-level result here is that, in general, we get poor dedupe on one full backup. It's not a surprise. We knew this already. But physical does about as good as logical in most cases, and it really doesn't matter so much the chunk size or the chunk type. Logical is slightly more efficient than physical, though, because there is additional metadata in the virtual disk than we see in the logical. So if that was just after deduplication. Now, if we consider also with compression, we see that the results have gone it gotten even closer. And here we see an overall 50% reduction due to GZ, and the results are pretty much similar for all the cases. So that's a good result for physical in that it does about as good as logical in storage efficiency for single early generation. We look at late generation. I'm going to present the same type of results here. Again, this is after deduplication, before compression. One thing to point out that's somewhat obvious here from the graph is that fixed size chunking doesn't do very well for logical backup, and this is also a well-known result. But briefly, I'll explain why. Essentially, in logical backup, I'm walking the file system hierarchy, and I'm reading, I'm concatenating files and adding records to go along with each of those files. So a new file created in the file system hierarchy may get inserted into that logical backup stream, shifting all the bytes that would have come after it further by the variable size of the new file. Delete would cause the same thing, but a shift in the opposite direction. As soon as I do that shift, even a one-byte shift will cause physical chunking to create all new chunks, and so these chunks will no longer dedupe with the chunks that had already been stored in the system. That's why we see, even though it does get some dedupe, it still doesn't get as good as the other three cases. So we'll ignore that case for now. If we just look at the first two bars and the last bar, we see that even in late generation, physical backup dedupes as well as logical. And one sort of interesting feature here is that for the 4K, you see the physical fixed does slightly better than the physical variable. It's very close, but still does slightly better. Whereas in the other two cases, 8 and 16K, the physical variable does better than the physical fixed. And the reason we believe for this is that we get nice alignment with the file system block size. So in NTFS, the default block size is 4K, or at least the block size we use is 4K. I believe that's the default. And when you use 4K chunking, you get very nice alignment when we use 4K fixed chunking with the actual block size of the file system. And I guess the converse of that is with 8 and 16K, each one of those fixed size or chunks will cover two blocks, and so any one block change in the file system will cause both the chunk for both of those blocks to no longer deduplicate properly. So now when we add compression, though, we see that trend reverses for 4K. And again, it's still very slight, but you'll notice that the 4K fix doesn't quite do as well as the 4K physical fix doesn't quite do as well as the 4K physical variable. And the reason for that is we believe that the compression makes up for the compression makes up for the benefit that we get out of dedupe. So we get better benefit compression. The average chunk size is slightly bigger than 4K in that case. And also the sort of higher level result than that is that in here we see that now for physical variable it actually does better than logical variable across the board. slightly better. They're almost equivalent, though. So the second question we wanted to ask was about file system metadata, because we knew that there was going to be more metadata in the file system, and we wanted to understand what effect that would have on physical backup efficiency. For this experiment, we had the secondary question, and that really was about the result. It came from the result of the last experiment. That was, why was physical variable the most efficient? This is sort of a counterintuitive result. We sort of expected, still even after compression, for physical fixed for the 4K, to, since the nice block alignment occurred, to get that, to have that be the best result overall. We did expect logical variable to be even better because of the overheads that the physical backup introduces. So in this experiment, we take the physical backups and we separate the metadata from the data. We want to consider them separately. And the NTFS, for NTFS, the metadata is mostly confined to the MFT at the very beginning of the VMDK partition. So it's fairly easy to separate. Some metadata may exist in the middle of the data blocks, but for our file systems, that didn't happen too often. The results in this section are presented slightly differently. Here we just present the output size over the input size. Since we're separating out constituent parts and we're not considering the unused parts, we can do this ratio rather than having to normalize. Again, lower numbers are still better. So the first graph presents the results for the deduplication segment of the simulation. We have two sets of bars. We're varying the chunk type, variable, and fixed. And for each bar, we have three components: the MFT metadata component for the physical. The first two bars are physical. The data block component for the physical, and then the final bar shows logical unmodified. First thing to notice is that in both cases, and most specifically in the variable case, the physical data chunks do better than the logical data chunks. And we believe that this is likely due to the fact that you get this non-aligned interleaving of data and metadata in the logical. Remember, from the very beginning of the second slide I presented, I showed the TAR format, or the logical backup format, and it had files with metadata records interspersed. Sometimes you get overlap in chunking, where some of the chunk is metadata, some of the chunk is data, and the metadata changes at a different frequency than the data. In fact, it's generally more frequent because you get reads and updating 8 times, for example. So we see that even in the variable case, which is quite good, the physical does slightly better than the variable. We also point out that with respect to logical, the metadata doesn't do as well in terms of dedup. We'll talk about why that is in a moment. Now, after compression, when we just do compression, we again have the same setup with our graph. The only difference here is that this is showing the compression ratio. We see that the metadata, let's start with this, the physical blocks compress better than the logical blocks. And what I was going to say, the metadata chunks are very compressible. So even still, we get, when you sort of add these two components together, you can see why physical variable can do better than logical variable, because it gets better dedup in the data blocks and decent dedup in the metadata, and it gets better compression in both, and quite good compression in the metadata. The reason the metadata doesn't dedup so well but compress as well is because of the way it's composed. It's essentially written in 4K blocks. Each 4K block is broken down into 1K records in the MFT. And these records turn out to be very compressible, but not so dedupable. And the reason is that they're very regular, they're very similar to each other, but a single A time, a single M time change in any of these records from generation to generation can cause the entire chunk to no longer deduplicate. And also, across records within a generation, you get very good compression because, again, they're very regular, they're very similar to repeated, even though some of the data may be different. So we started to go down the path of investigating, all right, what's different between the file system layout versus the logical backup layout, and why, what effects do those differences have on storage efficiency? And we thought, oh, let's push that a little bit further. Another difference in file system versus logical backup, physical versus logical backup, is that file systems experience churn. Logical backup really doesn't. By churn, we generally mean as file systems age, they accumulate dirty blocks. And by dirty blocks, I mean blocks that have garbage data. They may have been allocated to a file. File was deleted, but still that data in that block persists and is no longer relevant or interesting to us, but still we're going to back it up. There's also external fragmentation, which can cause non-contiguous file blocks in the layout. So these effects are never present in a logical backup. Logical backup always has contiguous data, and never has data that you don't really want to back up. In this experiment, we first estimate the churn in our data set by counting the number of change blocks between generations. Then we modify our physical backup in two different ways. And the idea is to vary the makeup of the backup so that we can quantify the effects of the churn on storage efficiency. And now we go back to presenting our results as we did in the early slides, where we're presenting the average relative size ratios. But once again, lower is better. So to start with the average churn rate, essentially we're presenting here on the y-axis the percentage of blocks changed by generation, the average percentage of blocks changed by generation. We also present the max for each of our five users, and then we show the average of all the users. In general, for all the users, we see that we have a maximum of 4% average churn, and it's actually the average churn is very, very low. If you look at the blue bar, it shows that it's around 1%. So it's not a lot of churn in this data set, but some of the users have a decent amount of churn, up to 13% for user 5, for example, max. This graph shows, again, the relative size ratio. This is after dedupe and compression. And I'm presenting results that we've already seen. These are the standard physical backup results. The first modification we made was to zero fill all these garbage blocks. So we thought, all right, well, one way to deal with garbage blocks is to semantically look between generations, semantically interpret which ones are no longer in use by the file system, and just zero them out. What we found, though, was that it actually increases churn, sort of counterintuitively. And the reason is that it turns out that we were already getting pretty good dedupe. The dirty blocks, once dirty or once garbage, don't change. And they dedupe against their previous copies, which were maybe live data. As soon as we start adding zeros and zero filling, then we get certain instances where we don't get good dedupe for those blocks. So we tried a different modification. We said, all right, fine, let's just exclude those. We're already interpreting the semantics of the file system, and we're already deciding which blocks are garbage. Let's just copy the blocks that we care about, and we'll do it in a way so that we can reorder things. Reorder them so that they're more, they're not necessarily in the file order, but there's no metadata interspersed in even the data blocks. And so in this case, we just copy the live blocks and we segregate the MFT and the metadata from the data, and we put them together and we run them through our simulator, and we see that now we start to see the improvement that we expected to see when we did zeroing. So the fourth and final question is, we wanted to see, all right, fine, we're already special casing things, we're looking at file systems, understanding the semantics of them in order to try and apply additional compression techniques or understand the effects of the compression on the physical backup. But we said, all right, so maybe we can push this further, maybe there's some additional optimizations we could push into it on various portions of the physical backup to improve the overall storage capacity. For this, though, I'll refer you to the paper in the interest of time. So there's some related work. In some cases, there's more related work than I'm presenting here. But in general, we're related to the early work in doing physical disk backup when they weren't using virtual disks. They were using real physical disks. And somehow that motivates our work in leveraging that idea for virtual machine backup. To investigate the virtual machine backup for physical storage. There's also work, obviously, in backup storage and duplication, early papers, Venti and the data domain paper. More recently, there's been lots of publications dealing with virtualization, how to handle VM disk images. The earliest works were in defining these virtual machine monitors in the first place, but then things, something that's quite kind of close to us in deduplicating virtual machine disk images, they looked at how similar are images as they expanded generations of or versions of operating systems in these VMs to see how much dedupe between generations of operating systems or how similar the operating systems were to each other in the VMDK format. So to conclude, I'll start by saying we already knew physical backup in a lot of ways was better. This isn't our result. This is what motivated us. It's definitely easier to manage than logical. It can be faster. It's the way customers who are managing these systems are going to be looking at backup in the future. It just makes too much sense from an administrative perspective. We were concerned with, okay, well, if they're going there, what does that mean for capacity optimized storage? And we wanted to understand the components that went into. And how sensitive to these components the backup storage was going to be when storing these backups. And we, you know, we find, you know, the high level answer is it can be it can definitely be as space efficient as logical, and can even be better. You know, dedupe and compression work as well for physical backup as for logical. And going further than that, we looked at how understanding or being aware of what was going on beyond the blocks and looking at the file system, how that could help. You know, the things we found were the data and metadata interleaving can hurt dedupe and compression. And that handling churn correctly can avoid making things worse. You know, just handling churn isn't always the right answer. You have to handle it correctly. Segregating metadata from data can definitely help with dedupe. And, you know, the big but on all of that is, but optimizations, the benefit of those optimizations is really relative to the amount of churn you have in the system or the amount of metadata, data interleaving you have in the system. So in some cases, the small benefits of these optimizations can definitely be outweighed by the additional complexity of interpreting and understanding the file system semantics. Thank you.
Paul von Samuelsson, Fujitsu. I understand that the zero failing affects your dedupe, but don't you get the gain back with compression?
Well, that's a good question, right? You would think you would, but in some cases, variable isn't going to. Well, here's the thing: you're going to get some gain back, right? But you're not going to get. It's not going to be zero, right? With dedupe, you get essentially a complete remove of that block, right? With compression, even though it's zero filled, you're still going to get some metadata associated with that that affects. Yeah, it's a little bit, but these results were very close, right? I mean, in the end, right? I mean, I was zoomed way in, right?
So no, just saying that
we wanted to.
You're doing that extra work to understand that this block is.
Yeah.
Is you don't you may not have to do all that work for that minimal gain.
Yeah, I think once you know, we wanted to understand. We really the point of that result was to understand why. We weren't getting the kind of dedupe we thought we would get after churn, but you're right. There is some gain back in after compression.
Tao Yang with the UCSB. That's a very interesting result. You know, the physics, the backup actually bet a lot of cases. I have a question. If you look at the large company cluster like web search online or either offline developer clusters, normally, industry what we do is over-provisioning storages, so as a result, a huge amount of physical space actually not utilized. Do you have data show that how does impact your overall efficiency and in that kind of settings?
Okay, so let me see if I understand your question. You're asking that I've over-provisioned, so I have all this extra space that's free, essentially.
Right.
And now I'm doing physical backup, so I'm copying. And you're asking about the storage efficiency of that.
Right. When you do evaluation, let's say I have 50% of space actually not utilized.
So we did this. Okay. In fact, we over-provisioned our VMDKs. They were 20% over-provisioned over the largest backup that we would have for any given user. And so that's why we normalized the way we do in our results, because we didn't want, if we would have divided by the total size of the VMDKs, then the dedupe would have looked even greater. The resulting ratio of reduction would have been even lower.
Okay.
So yeah, we definitely looked at that. And in fact, you know, given the fact that you're doing dedupe and compression, as long as that extra space isn't garbage filled, if it's garbage filled, then you might have to do something like we proposed or we looked at maybe doing live block backups rather than backing up all the garbage. But if it's zero filled, then largely you should be able to compress most of that out.
Okay. But the other thing, look at the life cycle of a storage clusters. Is this at certain point maybe it's better to use logical? At a certain point maybe it's better than physical? Let's say initially they're not filled. And,
you mean from the performance perspective?
From the storage efficient point of view. And,
I don't know. I don't know that it's ever better to use one. I think the storage efficiency is going to be equivalent in both cases. Because in the end, whatever extra you're storing is going to get compressed down. So it's going to be very close. You know what I mean? The extra unused space is going to compress down probably. Assuming there was never anything written to it in the beginning, in the early stages of the cluster. As this cluster ages, then yeah, you can have these effects where maybe you get garbage accumulating. You know, imagine I wrote a very, very large file that used up 90% of the cluster space, and then I deleted half of it. That might be a situation where you'd have to special case that. But I think that's part why we looked at some of the optimizations we did.
Okay, good. Thank you.